Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. 2023 is underway and NAMPAC is certainly underway. It's one of the turnaround stories that just did not manage to make it through a cocktail of COVID, load shedding, rising rates, and challenges in upstreaming cash from African subsidiaries. Now, in English, all that means is it's really hard to try and run a group where your holding company sits in South Africa with lots of debt and your operations in Africa need to upstream cash, and that means pay it back to you as dividends or repayments of loans so that the holding company can go off and pay back the banks. It just doesn't work. It's really difficult. MTN has struggled with it massively, NAMPAC and countless others. Now, shareholders of NAMPAC were due to vote on a proposed rights offer at the meeting on the 18th of January, but there may be some light at the end of the tunnel here. That meeting was actually adjourned. It was 100% approval from shareholders to do that until the 8th of March, which has now given the company a little bit of breathing room to continue conversations with potential investors, as well as the banks, who will need to ultimately agree to whatever the plan will be. The fact that 100% of shareholders were in favor of adjourning that meeting and waiting for a better outcome on the 8th of March tells you that the rights offer will be painful. We know that Steinhoff has been in the news this year for mixed reasons, and other than the really tough creditor process currently underway, there was also the news of Mattress Firm no longer listing in the US. But Pepco has really been a glimmer of hope for Steinhoff, and what's interesting is that institutional investor interest in this retailer is high. We now know this for sure because Steinhoff has sold down its stake. They sold 6.6% in Pepco to investors who find themselves in the little black books of banks like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan in a typical private placement where huge money flows into the seller of an asset in a matter of hours. Now, this leaves Steinhoff with a stake of 72.3% in Pepco and cash of around 315 million euros in the bank. Where is that cash going? Probably to the creditors. Although, to be honest, I've given up trying to figure out the intricacies of that restructuring and how the very few crumbs that are left will actually fall off the table for equity holders. Richemont has been on a charge lately with improved sentiment around China. The share price is up more than 40% since November, and the latest numbers tell us why people are excited. Because sales in Asia Pacific were down by 9% in constant currency in the quarter ended December, and that's versus the previous year. This tells you that lockdowns in China really do hurt the group, so obviously the market is pricing in a recovery. Other regions have been growing very nicely, like 19% in Europe, for example, and Japan is the fastest growing market at 43%, but is also a small market, only slightly bigger than the Middle East and Africa, which grew 10%. The US was actually the laggard this quarter, up only 3%. Now, the next few quarters will be very important as the market has clearly already priced in a big recovery in China. But still, investors really do like luxury companies in tough times because anyone who can afford the jewelry made by one of Richemont's jewelry maisons isn't worried about recessions. And yes, I did have to check how to pronounce that on YouTube, and I did my best with it. And that's your lead indicator that I can't afford that jewelry either because I didn't know how to pronounce house in French. Leaving aside fancy jewelry, the biggest impact of a re-energized China will actually be in demand for commodities. That's really good news for emerging markets, particularly the ones that actually have electricity, so that scopes us out. But BHP's quarterly update confirms this. They refer to China as a stabilizing force for commodity demand in 2023, particularly as more developed markets face headwinds. Now, BHP also highlights that China is expected to achieve its fifth straight year of over 1 billion tons of steel production, and that's critical for iron ore producers like BHP. We now move on to retail, with Woolworths showing solid growth under a management team that is taking it back to basics in so many respects. There's less trading space in the fashion beauty home side of the business, yet sales are up. And this is great for trading density, which measures sales per square meter. Now, importantly, volumes were actually up in that side of the business, despite significant price increases of 10.8% because inflation is so high. In Woolworths Food, though, volumes actually went the other way. Consumers traded down in search of value. Woolworths is finding it a lot harder these days to push through food pricing increases, with prices up 6.8% in this period versus inflation of 8.4%, and that means that Woolworths needs to absorb some of the pricing pain. In Australia, the sale of David Jones will thankfully be done by the end of March, and good riddance. And Country Road is performing nicely, so shareholders seem to be happy with that. But I must touch on online, which grew 22.7% in Woolworths Food, as Woolworths Dash seemed to come right. 3.6% of food sales are now online versus 4.2% of fashion beauty homes. So there's been a huge catch up there. Online food sales are growing much faster than online sales in fashion beauty home. And I think the sales participation will actually swing the other way, where food will be higher than fashion beauty home. And sales participation just means the percentage of total sales attributable to a particular channel, like online. For me, buying groceries online just makes a world of sense in South Africa. And now for Mr. Price, which released an update for the festive period covering the 13 weeks to 31 December. And let me tell you, these numbers are not festive at all. It sounds exciting until you actually read closely. You see, with the inclusion of Studio 88, sales are up 34%. That's because when you make a large acquisition, you consolidate the sales and your group is much larger. This tells you nothing at all about how the rest of the business is growing. If you exclude Studio 88, sales were up just 1.2%, which is awful. Load shedding is a big issue for Mr. Price, although that certainly isn't stopping the company from rolling out stores, with trading space growth of 5.8% excluding Studio 88. That is exactly the opposite to what Woolworths is doing. Now, as we look for any rainbows whatsoever in these numbers, I did at least note that Yuppie Chef grew by double digits. So that's something at least. A whack to the share price of 7% tells you what the market thought of these numbers. And we finish off with another retailer, this time one where a management change is underway rather than bearing fruit like we are seeing at Woolworths. The CEO of SPAR is taking an early retirement at a time when the company is facing a governance and reputational crisis, with serious allegations having been made in the media. And the chairman is also on his way out, not available for re-election. Clearly, new management is coming. Will that be the same success story that Woolworths has been? I'm not hugely convinced, I must be honest, because SPAR just doesn't have the brand and market positioning that Woolworths does. It's also a very complicated group with a lot going on in Europe and in South Africa, although of course the same was true for Woolworths in Australia and South Africa. But I don't know, my gut feel is not particularly bullish on SPAR, and of course I would always love to hear the views of listeners. Let me know, are you punting at SPAR at these levels or are you also avoiding it? And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Wrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please, do your own research.